This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. I hope wherever you are, you're beginning to emerge and come out and get some vitamin D and all this other stuff as we try to reopen it. And if you're in one of these areas where you're still locked down, well, pay attention. Because in recent weeks, American adults have been subjected to the word allowed at levels that they've not seen since elementary school. America's gun owners have had this word thrown at them for decades, and many have unfortunately gotten used to it, the conditioning that comes with it. Some of us have always bristled at the cavalier way this word has been thrown around about in reference to our fundamental rights. But now, mainstream America, which, you know, we're not considered the mainstream. Gun-owning America, which is the majority of adults in the United States right now today. I don't care what anybody says about the numbers. We're not considered mainstream, even though we're the majority. Now, the rest of America, you know, the rest of the people of America, now they're discovering that it's unnerving and maybe a little ominous to hear politicians, bureaucrats, and, quote, reporters, end quote, explaining what we are and are not allowed to do. Now, while the word allow is sometimes chosen out of simple laziness, the word contains a disturbing presumption of authority. And that suggests that its use is not always accidental. So when a reporter talks about whether the governor will allow businesses to reopen, that statement, unconsciously or not, grants as fact that the governor has the authority to decide whether businesses can be in business. When bureaucrats say that lawful carry of firearms has been allowed in the Michigan State Capitol for decades, the use of the word implies a privilege that has been bestowed upon the people by a higher authority and which can be revoked by that authority at any time. Now, you should be like me in this, where I am outraged whenever the word allow is applied to almost anything they might choose to do. And the word allow rightly belongs almost exclusively only to parents, teachers, and property owners. Parents might not allow certain words to be used by their children. Teachers might allow a designated amount of free time for students to work on personal projects. And property owners might not allow smoking on their premises. And these are all valid and acceptable uses of the word allow. What is not valid and what is not acceptable is the use of the word allow in relation to what a government of the people, by the people, and for the people may decree regarding the rights of the people. The government of the United States and the governments of the several states, along with their subsidiary governments, derive their authority from we, the people. We allow these governments certain powers and privileges for our convenience and the general welfare. We allow them to institute certain laws and regulations for the public good. We do not authorize politicians and bureaucrats to manage our lives or dole out our God-given rights as they may see fit, which is exactly what's happening now. I'm a member of Costco because I don't like Sam's. And at Costco, you now are required to wear a mask into Costco. Now, never mind that all the surfaces are wide open and nobody's wearing a hazmat suit when you go in there. You're required to wear a mask. So this is theater that I'm involved in when I go to Costco to buy my San Pellegrino sparkling water because I get the big bags. Then when I go out, as I'm headed out the door, I can take the mask off and then I can go into other places without a mask. This is not this is not a policy. You know, these are guidelines, and you know, there's guidelines and requirements and all this other stuff. And I mean, I'm waiting to see what happens when the gym opens up next week. That's going to make me angry too. Now, whether the media and the government operatives are using the word allow intentionally to suggest certain authority, or they're just lazy about how they express themselves, the result is the same. They're reinforcing the idea that the state is the authority, and the state may mandate or proscribe virtually any action or behavior of the people. And that's not how it works. Not under our Constitution and the philosophy of liberty upon which our system of government is founded. So under our system, we the people allow government specific authority and duties, but the government doesn't allow us to do anything. We might allow the government to establish laws and regulations such as the penalty for a serious crime or a speed limit. But we wouldn't or shouldn't say that the government allows us to drive 65 miles per hour on the freeway. Instead, we would say that driving faster than 65 miles per hour is prohibited. It's basically semantics, but the semantics are important. We people have given the government the authority to set speed limits on public roadways. And that's very different from the government granting the privilege of driving and setting restrictions on our exercise of that privilege. But that is what is implied when the word allow is used. The word allow assumes very wide authority and implies that anything falling under that broad authority is a privilege granted by the allowing entity. Now, the theft of language is something I've pointed out many times before, and mainly, I don't think most people see the importance of this. Like using a word like assault weapon, this is a term that is a purely political, you know. Purely political invention designed to evoke a emotional response from you, mainly fear, to where when they get out there and say, so we should ban assault weapons, that you're like, uh-huh, yeah. But at the same time, they can't tell you what an assault weapon is, just that they have to be banned. So with the whole Chi-Com virus mess going on now, more people are seeing the word allow used against them. And they're beginning to understand the nefarious nature of that word. And for many, it's just a feeling. They're not sure why, but when they see or hear a report that uses the word allow, they feel insulted. And the same thing with the term essential workers. Aren't all workers essential? That's another debate, another time. And they should feel insulted. We should all feel insulted when any reporter, politician, or bureaucrat suggests that our rights are actually privileges bestowed upon us by a benevolent state, and which the state can revoke for any reason or no reason at all at any time. So rights, liberty, freedom, these are not things the state allows. These are core human rights, and they run through virtually everything we do. And just a few months ago, it would have been outrageous for any reporter or politician to use the word allow in reference to going to church. And today, still, we have governors and mayors in the media openly discussing whether or not to allow church services. A major metropolitan police force has declared that protest is not essential and only essential activities are allowed. Gun shops and ranges have had to sue to demand that they be able to remain open and operating lawfully. And suddenly, thanks to the fear of this latest Chi-Com virus, the word allow is being applied to virtually everything we say or do. And that must not be allowed to continue. Every time you see the word allow in a news story, unless they're talking about what we, the people, allow the government to do properly, you should be angry. And leave a little comment there. Write a letter to the editor calling out the use of the word. If the reporter is quoting a politician or bureaucrat, send the letter or email to the politician or the bureaucrat and their boss demanding that they stop using language that suggests subjugation of the American people. Because rights are not allowed by politicians or bureaucrats. And it can be convenient, but it is lazy, it's inaccurate, and it undermines the perception of rights across the board. So be angry. Be outraged. It is the proper response to this kind of laziness. Let the indignation roll out of you. Just let it go. Just let it happen. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Brinklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as $1 a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about $1 a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
All right. Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. One of the reasons I talked about the word allow is what is beginning to emerge that occurred in 2016, 2017. Because it's beginning to look like Barack Obama thought that he was such the leader that he should set the tone for the next administration. That he should not allow them to try to be successful, Donald Trump. And with each and every passing day as these revelations continue to grow, we're seeing that Barack Obama was quite the dirty player. The collapse of the Trump-Russia collusion nonsense is exposing how the former president can smile at you while setting forth a plot to bring about your annihilation. And you shouldn't be shocked by this. He's the one that signed off on Fast and Furious. They got a Border Patrol, actually two LAO, one Border Patrol agent, and I don't remember what Jaime Zapata did, but he died. He died as a result of it as well. And Obama barely batted an eye at this. The 2016 election was supposed to be to have Hillary Clinton making history, and instead she became a two-time presidential loser whose only accomplishment was that she married Bill, who does have the political skill to win an election. And there was a lot of dirty laundry lying around from the FBI's disastrous Russian collusion outing. Obama wanted to make sure that this investigation was protected and preferably hidden from the Trump team. And then the leaks began. For over 2 years, Obama's orders led to a coordinated media leak campaign, and all of this, the entire Trump-Russia myth, was based on a shoddy opposition research document, the Steele dossier, which has been thoroughly debunked, and yet Orange Man Bad so engulfed the leftist media. Obama knew this, and his team knew this. So with ex-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn now exonerated, as he was revealed to be the victim of a malicious FBI prosecution that was groundless, we see the last pieces of this dead, rotting collusion carcass that are falling apart. The documents show that there was no evidence of Russian collusion regarding Mr. Flynn. There was no need for him to be interviewed, and the top FBI brass was out to get him no matter what. Constitution be damned. There was an entrapment plot, which was long dismissed as tinfoil hat speak. And, oh no, that's not what it was. Obama had spent 8 years politicizing and weaponizing the DOJ with Eric Holder. And, even with when Loretta Lynch came in, it was still, it was now a den of traitors who drafted an open letter recently calling for Attorney General William Barr to resign, citing political interference. You would refer to this as chutzpah. Chutzpah. This is the chutzpah they have. Because that's quite brassy. That's really arrogant. In reality, they're upset their whole circus act is coming down and the clown car is about to flip over. And it's the Twilight Zone. Nearly 2,000 former Obama DOJ officials are upset that the current administration is following the rule of law. The New York Post editorial board scorched Obama for this latest chapter in the scandal, noting that all this showed, besides it being a hoax and politically motivated, was that Obama's Chicago political upbringing is very much ingrained with the alleged plot against Trump. And they wrote, Russiagate is now a complete dead letter, but Obamagate is taking his place. Just how far did the then president go to cripple his successor? It's now clear the Obama, Comey, FBI, and Justice Department never had anything more substantial than the laughable fiction of the Steele dossier to justify the counterintelligence investigation of the Trump campaign. And yet, incessant leaks from that supposedly confidential probe wound up consuming the Trump administration's first months, years, actually, in office, followed by the Bob Mueller-led special counsel investigation of nearly the total witch hunt that President Trump dubbed it. Information releases that the Justice Department dropped its charges against General Michael Flynn shows that President Barack Obama in his final days in office played a key role in fanning the flames of phony scandal. Fully briefed on the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, he knew the FBI had come up with nothing despite months of work starting in July 2016. So he then directed that as many people as possible across his administration be briefed on the utterly unsubstantiated allegations against Team Trump. And as Rice and others took unprecedented steps to unmask U.S. citizens like Flynn, whose conversations have been called on federal wiretaps of foreigners, This is the danger of the NSA. I get out there all the time and say they can't go through all the metadata, but they can if they know who they're looking for. But I'll say this about Barack Obama. He does know how to play dirty. This is the thing. They're still refusing to drop the case against Michael Flynn. And the whole case is predicated on a lie. How can you have broken the law when you weren't involved in a criminal enterprise? But Obama, he's a Democrat. They're all dirty. If you're a Democrat and you don't feel like you're dirty, I understand if you're offended by what I just said. Tough. The FBI led a baseless and malicious crusade against Flynn. They spied on Carter Page. And they ignored or disregarded standing department policy in its effort to honor Obama's final orders. And people think that Trump is the one who is cancerous to our institutions. The FBI and the DOJ need to be figuratively burned down to the cellar and rebuilt. They need to get rid of all the top brass. The agency, the FBI, you know, they were admired for their impartiality and investigative prowess, and as well as being the preeminent domestic intelligence service. And now it's in a shambles. They can't be trusted. They have no credibility regarding being able to handle politically sensitive probes. And this is all thanks to Obama, who got duped by the Russians into pursuing this wild goose chase. And there might be more hearings on this, especially in the second phase of the Russian collusion delusion, the special counsel probe. You know, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Obama, James Clapper, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and others involved in this plot should be yanked back before Congress to address the Flynn fiasco. Wheel in the cots if they have to, because no one should leave until all these questions have been asked and then some. And there will be some people that would say, you know, nothing's going to come of this. And once again, you should be outraged, because Barack Obama did not want to allow the will of the election to go forward, because Barack Obama believed that there are no rights, there are only privileges. So, that was the story I have woven. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Former Vice President Joe Biden, after again denying the claim of a former staffer that he sexually assaulted her nearly three decades ago, acknowledged for the first time the dilemma now facing potential supporters, saying, if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believed Tara Reid. Biden also said he didn't remember Reid, who worked for him in 1993, and said all women who are harassed should be taken seriously. seriously.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't. But look, let me get something clear. When a woman makes a claim that she has been harassed or abused, she should be taken seriously. She could come forward, share her story. She should be taken seriously.
Biden's comments came during an hour-long town hall-style event that included former Georgia State Representative Stacey Abrams, seen as a top contender to be his running mate. This is USA Radio News. Residents of the Navajo Nation will be under the strictest weekend lockdown in the United States. Grocery stores, gas stations, and other businesses will be closed, and essential workers are being told to stay at home until Monday around dawn. The Navajo Nation president made the announcement after a spike in deaths. The tribe now reports 127 deaths and 3,600 positive cases since it first began tracking. The Navajo Nation has been hit harder by the coronavirus than any other Native American reservation. JCPenney, weighed down by debt and battered by the coronavirus, has now officially filed for bankruptcy. Sales at JCPenney's have fallen annually since 2016. It currently has 860 stores, less than a quarter of its base in 2001. The Texas-based retailer, which was founded more than a century ago, employed over 90,000 full and part-time employees. It joins fellow department store chains Neiman Marcus and Sage Stores as victims of the pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. I'm just thinking to myself, wow, the pollen is horrible. Might cause me to cough, and then that, you know, if I cough anywhere indoors, I'm going to clear that out. It's a little amusing, really. Most of us know what a Karen is by now, right? And for you ladies that might be named Karen, my apologies, I didn't set up the meme. The name has quickly become an indispensable part of our daily lexicon, in part because there are so many of them out there these days. You know the type, the officious busybody who can't wait to talk to the manager about some supposed slight at the grocery store, or who called the police to report that a church has at least 15 people inside when they're only supposed to have 10 under governor's stay-at-home order. It was a Karen who called police a few weeks ago after they saw dad playing with their kid in a Colorado park. A Karen in Idaho had police called on her after she started freaking out over people standing too close together, at least in her opinion, in a Little Caesars pizza restaurant. According to meme researcher and Kansas State University professor Heather Suzanne Woods, a Karen's essential nature is one of entitlement, selfishness, and a desire to complain. A Karen demands the world exist according to her standards, with little regard for others, and she is willing to risk or demean others to achieve her ends. And if that's the essence of Karenism, then doesn't that make Gregory and Travis McMichael's killer Karens? I mean, it's sort of Karen-like to take off after a guy because they think he's been rummaging through a neighbor's unfinished home for months, and they believe they have the right to try to stop him and hold him for police. Isn't it? Now, based on the evidence that I see, including the original police report filed after Ahmaud Arbery's shooting, Gregory and Travis McMichaels came across as busybodies who couldn't stand the fact that the guy they just knew had been prowling around their neighborhood, and maybe the guy who stole Gregory's pistol from an unlocked car, was running by their home with impunity. Only a Karen would see Arbery go past their house in broad daylight and yell out to their son, "This guy's running down the street, let's go." Only a Karen would grab their guns and hop in the truck to pursue the guy, not thinking for a moment about what they might look like from the perspective of the guy that they were chasing. Only a Karen would follow the guy throughout the neighborhood, even when he kept evading them and running away. A persistent Karen would think to themselves at some point, "This is ridiculous. What am I doing?" No, they keep going, and maybe after a couple of attempts, the Karens would manage to cut him off. Only a Karen would stand in the bed of the pickup with his handgun while Karen Jr. jumped out of the driver's seat, shotgun in his hands, to ensure compliance with their orders. So I want you to picture the scene. The truck's blocking the right-hand traffic lane, and Karen Jr. is standing by the driver's side door, ready to step out into the left lane. There's nowhere for the guy to go, especially now that another neighbor's pulled up in his truck behind the perp, and the Karens have finally got their man. Only a Karen would yell at him to stop because they want to ask him some questions, and the police are on their way. But he keeps running. He jukes right around the pickup truck, and Karen Jr. turns and approaches him from the front left side, and suddenly the guy turns and runs at Karen Jr. He reaches for the shotgun, and there's a boom and a struggle and two more shots, and he turns to run away again, but his feet aren't working anymore because, he's about to die. He stumbles a few steps and then crumbles to the street under the warm February sun. This can't possibly be the fault of the Karens, who are forever blameless in their own eyes. This guy obviously had it coming to him. In the meantime, we're left to endure things like are the McMichaels terrible racists? I don't know. But right now I have an open mind. If all of a sudden something turns up, some shred of evidence where they can convince me that Ahmaud Arbery was a desperado killer guy that was running away and was going, he had to try to kill the McMichaels men in order to continue his prowling ways, then I'm open to that. I'm open to looking at that. But I know for a fact that there are Karens, albeit on the extreme end of the, these guys are Karens, on the extreme end of the Karen spectrum. And what I can't understand is why I'm seeing some people who usually make fun of Karens defend the McMichaels on social media. When a Karen called police on a dad playing catch with his kid in a park, folks had a field day mocking her for her heavy-handed response and sicking the police on people for no good reason. Two Karens go after a guy that they're pretty sure has been wandering around the neighborhood at night and going into a neighbor's unfinished home with the intent of forcing him to stop so they can ask him some questions, and it's all okay? This is not okay. This is Karenism on steroids. According to Gregory McMichael's own statement to police, he had not witnessed Arbery commit a crime that day. The most he could tell police was that there had been break-ins in the neighborhood, and they had previously seen Arbery on surveillance video, or what they thought was Arbery. Some of the people they were seeing in the preceding months up to that guy had dreadlocks, which Arbery did not have dreadlocks. That's a problem. Police report that the only break-in reported to them between January 1st and February 23rd when Arbery was killed was a report of a handgun belonging to Gregory McMichaels that had been stolen from Travis McMichaels' unlocked truck on January the 1st. Who leaves? Okay. I got to ask this. Who leaves a functioning weapon in an unlocked vehicle and then is surprised when it's stolen? WTOC-TV reported Wednesday that between October 25th, 2019 and February 23rd of this year, there were 5 911 calls made to police about trespassing and McMichael's stolen handgun, but no actual burglary calls. The first 911 call came on October 25th. It was classified as a trespass. The homeowner, Larry English, called 911 because someone was inside the home and it activated the cameras. The call lasted about 13 minutes and ended with the unidentified man walking off the property without taking anything. The next call came nearly a month later on November 18th. English called again about someone inside and reportedly told dispatch he had the same issue with different people last night, indicating it isn't the same person always inside. This call lasted about 20 minutes and ended with the officer changing it from trespassing to extra watch, indicating officers would check the property. Third call was January the 1st. Travis McMichael said someone stole a pistol from his unlocked truck. No suspect description is provided in the log and the incident report. Then on February 11th, Travis McMichaels told police he had witnessed someone enter English's unfinished home and waited out front until police arrived. Police made contact with English, who actually lives about 50 miles away. English told police that he'd had issues with a guy going into the partially constructed home over the past several months, but stated that it appeared the individual was only trespassing and plundering around and that he hadn't noticed anything missing from the site. And the last 911 call was 1:15 p.m. on February 23rd when someone called to once again report that an individual was inside English's unfinished home. Arbery was called on surveillance footage inside the unfinished home around that time, but the attorney for Larry English says her client never asked for assistance from the McMichaels, doesn't know them, and would have simply called the police, as he had done in the past, if he had been aware of Arbery's trespass. The months prior to February 23rd, a motion-activated camera captured videos of someone inside the house, and it still is a construction site at night. And English never said that it was Arbery. So, I mean, McMichaels never even reached out to English to see if he needed or wanted their help watching over his property, but they took it upon themselves to hop in their truck and chase after Arbery when they saw him running down the street on February 23rd. This is the epitome of a Karen. That's about as Karen as you can be without a poofy hairdo. And I'm not saying that it's Karen-like to call police when you think someone may be trespassing. But these guys were Karens. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Bill Frady here. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For my personal protection, I recommend training at FrontSight, the world's premier firearms training facility, located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with FrontSight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. Enter frontsight.com/radio into your computer browser to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/radio. After your first course at FrontSight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population. Guaranteed. Nobody does it better than FrontSight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. See you at FrontSight.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30 count bottle of immune booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
More time before some of us get to get on with our weekend. This is Gun Owners News Hour. If it wasn't clear, let me clear something up. It should be very clear by now that most of the world's leaders were stampeded over the lockdown cliff like so many lemmings. What caused the stampede is even more remarkable. It was a tiny coterie of obscure, self-spoken epidemiologists in white lab coats that decided to play with some numbers. Americans trying to keep up with the torrid pace of new developments over the past few months have been hearing about that work. The data modeling these people do by feeding selected data and a variety of assumptions and presumptions into a computer. And then the computer then disgorges diagrams and charts that attempt to describe the future progress of diseases like COVID-19, or of the weather, or of trends, or of you name it. The most frequently cited COVID-19 modelers are those at the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington and similar organizations at the Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, funded by Bloomberg, and the Imperial College in London. Imperial College is where the brightest star in this tiny constellation disaster emerged, and he is Dr. Neil Ferguson, director of the Center for Global Infectious Disease Analysis at the college. Until a little sex scandal sidelined him just recently, which would be a delicious story for another day, he was also a key member of the group that has been directing the British government's response to the coronavirus. And for that work, the thin, pale, bespectacled 52-year-old has been given a shorter title. They now call him Professor Lockdown. That is very well deserved. Mid-March saw a rapid upsurge of reported COVID-19 events starting on March 11th with the World Health Organization's official designation of the coronavirus as a pandemic. And at that point, the spread of the disease was is already global, with new cases popping up everywhere. It was global in October. Watch and see. It was global in October. A lot of people had this and didn't know they had it, but, I digress. Then we started seeing the frightening headlines fill up the newspaper pages and the TV screens daily and hourly. 9 states in the U.S., the first being California, on March the 19th, started issuing wide shutdown orders. Boris Johnson's government did the same for the entire U.K. In the United States, there has been no nationwide federal lockdown, and President Trump decided to coordinate with the governors on their responses, and he decided to get some help from the private sector, which is very smart. The most frightening headline of all was kicked off by Ferguson's authorship of a report issued on March the 16th. And I'm going to give you the key paragraph, abbreviated, verbatim. It is, in the unlikely absence of any control measures or spontaneous changes in individual behavior, we would expect a peak in mortality, daily deaths, to occur about approximately 3 months. After approximately 3 months. In total, in an unmitigated epidemic, we would predict approximately 510,000 deaths in Great Britain and 2.2 million in the U.S., not accounting for the potential negative effects of health systems being overwhelmed on mortality. That sounds quite innocuous, but when you actually read it, you know, pretty easy to figure out what it means. This spooked everybody. It spooked everything but a handful of other states in the U.S. to join the lockdown parade. But note the word unlikely. That any society in the face of a serious epidemic would take no mitigating actions was not just unlikely. It was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous assumption to make, as was the assumption that there would be no change in people's behavior. And there were great assumptions, however, if the aim, you know, was to cause panic. What, you might ask, was Ferguson's record on prognostications on epidemics prior to COVID-19? Well, it wasn't very good at all. In 2005, Ferguson said that up to 200 million people would die from the bird flu. And the final global death toll between the years of 2003-2009 was 292. In 2009, the UK government based its reasonable worst-case scenario for the impact of swine flu in Britain on Ferguson's models, saying around 65,000 people could die. In the end, 457 people died. In 2001, imperial modeling on foot and mouth disease shaped government policy, which was to cull 6 million sheep, cattle, and pigs. Later, an expert in veterinary epidemiology said that modeling was seriously flawed. And to all of this, let's add something from a science reporter. His name is James Ball, who raised other questions about the soundness of Ferguson's research process. He wrote this in The Spectator. In a fairly unusual break from best practice, Ferguson did not release the code on which his model runs and has run in various forms for several years, saying it was largely undocumented and would make little sense to outsiders. That's a very poor practice for multiple reasons, not least of which being that replicating another's work is a core principle of science and essential to check workings. It's also well known among programmers and scientists alike that most code eventually contains errors and idiosyncrasies from which we must remain constantly vigilant. Far, far simpler models than Ferguson's have ended up containing huge errors that have drastically altered their conclusions. If you remember the restaurant chain Applebee's, they had something called their baby back ribs, which they were very well known for. And the thing about it was, the recipe for this was so good that no matter where you ate at an Applebee's, whether it was in Tulsa or Topeka, it was the same baby back ribs, tasted the same, same sauce. It was perfect. That's replication. When they're getting out there and they're getting ready to set policy, like locking us all down, and they're going to get out there, they should at least give us the model and give us the data that brought us the model so that we can make that happen again. And if we can't make it happen again, then what are we doing basing any sort of policy on that? But the only thing the American public heard was more than 2 million Americans might be dead in 3 months. And that's what happened. Oh, my gosh. And recall, by the way, that on January 29th, which was 9 days after the first confirmed COVID-19 case in the U.S., and 2 days before Trump issued his ban on travelers from China, president announced that he was forming his coronavirus task force. But it would be almost March before the task force got into high gear. And this was a bull riding test for Trump, being bucked by a frightened public over the looming apocalypse portrayed by the media and by the unfolding economic catastrophe he knew that he could not allow to continue. So how much of a lemming on this was Trump or the state governors? All of them were, to a degree or another. Thus, we were, I mean, with Trump, when he heard 2 million, when everybody was panicking over 2 million deaths, he had to do something. But then the president saw the cliff ahead and started pushing against the lockdown express, and it took some delicate maneuvering and however much credence he gave to the 2.2 million number. He cannily co-opted it for his political purpose, using it to boast that his administration's actions would prevent these horrific numbers from becoming reality, and then he went out and did it. Ferguson has conceded a bit to his critics, but he also proudly noted that his 2.2 million number had the effect of pushing policymakers into lockdowns that he believed were necessary. But then there's what is not seen. Because we're going to see an increase in suicides when we finally get around to counting this. Family and substance abuse and lapsed medical procedures and tests and wrecked businesses and lives from the lockdown. So Professor Lockdown, while he did get what he wanted in his utopian world of, this is medical best practice, this is not the world that actually exists. In the world that actually exists, we face these obstacles and we overcome these obstacles. And instead of going out and achieving herd immunity, which would have occurred without a lockdown, we're nowhere near it yet. Because we've been hiding from it. And we continue to hide from it. And, and all out of fear. And all because we listen to one pencil-necked little white coat lab rat who didn't even tell us how he came up with this conclusion. It's a little bit like showing you the answer to your math problem and not showing you how you actually got to it. That's how he would teach you math. And at the end of the day, what have you learned? Nothing. And what did he prove with his little model? Nothing. Back next week. Keep your heads up. Stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.